the gulf widens. In week 5, the rich dumped ever more wins into their coffers as the poor once more had naught but pain to endure. There were some close calls, but even those failed to survive as field goals flew and the ankles of the so-called healthy turned to dust. On this pod, we check in with some owners on both sides of the divide and take a look at the stakes as the margin for error shrinks ever smaller. This is Don't Fear the Keeper.
And we're back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Don't Fear the Keeper. I am Diesel, as always, and joining me today, all the way from nowhere, is no one. Colin was a last-minute healthy scratch from this one, putting his day job ahead of his real job, if you want to, you know, ask me to be blunt about it. But I am here instead. I know what everyone thinks when I say that, and all I can tell you is don't worry. First of all, I'm not here technically alone. Gab's dog Nugget is actually at my feet here, so he's the true co-host for this week. But the second part is that later on I am going to have some guests on, so I'm not running this thing through for an hour. I'm just going to do a little intro segment here, and then everybody's going to get to hear from some other league members. We're going to give everybody a chance to shine here. But first of all, let's just dive into just a few recaps of last week's action. I first want to say, because I was not on last week's podcast, I did a similar thing that Colin's doing today in terms of not being able to make it. And I thought it was fantastic. I think that Colin did a really fantastic job kind of changing things up with the format. And Zach obviously did a fantastic job kind of stepping in and being a really entertaining co-host. So I think it went fantastic. I found several parts very funny. And really the biggest, I think the thing that I immediately thought when I said I couldn't do the podcast was that I had put that note in the doc that Colin mentioned last week, which was that fortune favors those who remain on the podcast, and then I immediately did not contribute to the episode. And I somehow managed to not jinx myself with that one, which I think is actually truly the most incredible thing to happen thus far this season, and I'm pretty fucking happy about it. I did take down Alex. I had a big Monday night with 2 30-point bombs from Josh Jacobs and Travis Kelce that has carried me to 5-0. That's really all I'm going to say about that for now. My next note here is Texas in this case being Paul, back. Because, look, there was a lot of commotion made partially by me about Paul's demise in this league. That this was finally, the crumbling of the Paul Empire that he had worked so hard to build. Honestly, I do have to give Paul credit. He probably is at this point the best fantasy player that we have here in terms of consistency, and it really looked like that was ending. But now two straight weeks, two straight wins, and honestly, dominant wins. He put up 167 last week, 140-ish this week. I mean, he was going up against Brian, so he didn't need all those points, but, you know, he did do it. So, look, I don't know what's going on over there in Paul, town, down in, whichever Carolina it is that Paul lives in. But the tides might be turning. Hurricane Ian might have, just rolled through and swept all the bad juju right out of Paul's team and left him with, yeah, maybe a contender here. We're going to get to a little bit later the fact that there's a canyon opening right in the middle of the league right now. Next point, we just have to keep this up just as a running, tally mark. Charlie Kesa, 0-5, predicted this one. I believe he still has one more week where he technically predicted that he would lose, but then we're going to have to see where his season goes from there. But yeah, Chuck gets absolutely throttled by Zach. Didn't have a bad week, 120-something. Like, you know, he could have beaten a few people with that score, so we'll see how much longer this lasts for Charlie. I'll just the other boring one, Mike rolling, Garrison rolling over. You know, not much there. And then finally, the most interesting one, the absolute, I mean, clinic and heartbreak that was put on by Ben in his win over Colin. I mean, anytime you see a win by less than 1 point, you know that it was bad. But to see it be, and Colin touched on this already in the group chat, this insane in terms of everything that had to happen. I mean, T. Higgins coming away. T. Higgins kind of looked like the best, you know, receiver on that Cincinnati team all year. Coming away with 0 points. And then Dan Carlson scoring 16, including several field goals that would have been, you know, worth like 4 points, then being pushed to five or, you know, three up it to four. I forget exactly how many times that happened, but it happened a few. And Ben needed every single roughing the passer penalty that he got to get Daniel Carlson up to 16 points. So kudos to Ben. Kudos to Leonard Fournette, I guess, for absolutely willing Ben to this one, in addition to old Carl. I'm also very curious to see if Ben actually bought that Daniel Carlson jersey. So that's about it. I'm not going to do the phone call thing that Colin did last week. I don't want to really steal the idea, because it was a really good idea. I don't want to just piggyback off of it, but also I'm going to have some people on who I believe neither of the people I'm having on will have a chance, or had a chance last week, to talk to Colin on the pod. So they'll get their chance this week. And if you didn't get a chance last week and this week, it'll come. I don't know. There's no method to it. So I think Colin was just pulling names out of his ass. So, you know, it's fine. But okay. So I am now going to take you to our more main segments here. We got two of them for you. And joining me by pod request, or by league request, sorry, this week, or today, Charlie is going to be returning to the pod as my co-host. So I'm going to take you over to that right now. Okay, and now I would like to welcome, wow, that was a perfect time for the dog to start barking. Fuck, whatever, we're rolling. I would now like to welcome, as promised, the pod's once and future king. The commish joins me again here in spot duty. Chuck, welcome to the program.
You know, John, I'm going to say I'm a little disappointed in you so far.
Oh? To be clear, I did not just boot Charlie. Charlie just left the meeting. I hope we can use this one, because that's really funny. Okay, you're back now.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened. That was not my internet. The web page just, like, died.
That couldn't have been timed better from my perspective, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, no. But anyway, like I was saying, I leave the pod, and all of a sudden the two-hour episodes where nothing gets talked about somehow go away. What are you guys even doing?
Well, we have – he just left again. He just got booted again. I'm not even doing it. Oh, my God. What's going on with you?
It's like the web page keeps – I don't know. Hold on. Let me get in a different Wi-Fi network.
Okay. Yeah, you do that. We'll make for great radio in this case. What the fuck? Different Wi-Fi network is an interesting call, but Charlie is now frozen. Again, fantastic radio, but Charlie is completely frozen now, and we're just going to wait to see if he comes back whole and maybe consistently back. This could be a very fast back half of the episode also. I might set a record here for fastest podcast ever.
Okay. He's now offline, which feels like progress. I have an answer for this, too. I had a fairly witty answer, and I feel like the flow of that conversation is now just completely broken to the point that even if my joke is okay, which it's not going to be, it's never as good as I expect it to be. But even if it is, it's not going to land. Okay, and Charles Case has returned. I'm not kidding. He just took a breath, was about to say something, and then it went away. This actually, I don't know if someone could do a funnier job if they were trying to fuck with him. Charles?
I'm back.
You're back.
This is not an internet thing this time. It's like Google Chrome keeps crashing for me. So maybe my computer's just shitty now. I don't know.
Charlie, I was saying off the air to our listeners, I guess, if someone was intentionally cutting out your internet every time, they could not be doing a funnier job of this.
It was like when Brian turned off the internet at the ranch that one time.
Yeah. And that I think we can't rule that out as a possibility that Brian has driven, I guess, flown and then driven all the way to Athens, Ohio to do this.
He could have driven all the way. You never know.
He usually does, I guess, when he comes here. To answer your question, Charlie, regarding the two-hour episodes, we have to leave an hour for you to, you know, to fill with the commish's corner. So I feel like we've now split that 2 hours.
Despite the fact that my episodes are been at most 30 minutes long, leave me a full hour. I appreciate that, John.
Just in case, you're still getting ahead of steam.
It's true. I have some ideas planned. There might be some longer episodes coming, considering the last one was just 10 minutes long. So
I sort of suspected. Well, okay. Well, Chuck, I do appreciate you being here.
Yes.
Because, you know, this is, as I was saying before we started this, no one wants to hear me talk for a full hour. In this case, given your technical difficulties, it'll probably be more like 25 minutes.
But, yeah, maybe.
But yeah, okay. So let's dive into our segments here today. So the first kind of small segment that I have planned, I'm calling Magic the Gathering. That's a magic number.
3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 18, 21, 24, 26.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I mean, it's not my best work.
And this segment's called the Orlando Magic.
It's not my best work, but it had the word magic in it. The point of this is magic numbers. Is magic numbers.
Okay.
It would have worked. It would have worked. I'm just very happy. So the song's also going to be The Three is a Magic Number.
He was just teaching the people.
Which I just like. I hadn't listened to that in a while, and I just listened to it for this. And at some point, he just starts listening out multiples of three. He's counting. He was teaching, that's true. But so we're doing
there
magic
is,
numbers.
And I briefly looked at this, too.
What we're going to be doing.
Was like, there's very or, clear. What we've my thought always was had... that...
So there's already a gap.
It seems like there's always
right, in the league standings we've discussed.
Ooh.
Oh, hang on a sec, Chuck. I'm getting a phone call here. This is interesting. Ooh. Let's see here. Mike, you there?
Yeah, John, I'm here live from beautiful Miami.
Didn't realize yeah. John was
well,
a
that's
fucking
so funny
snake.
That you're calling me now, because you're on the pod with me and Charlie. That's crazy.
Wow, Charlie, how you doing there, bud?
Didn't really.
You know, well,
Mike,
you know,
I'm
Chuck,
really interested to hear what you have to say because I can.
That's your
the
own fault.
Yeah,
my good buddy John here called me and asked me if I could give you some fancy advice, Charlie.
You think? He just punched the guy, though. He's going to be suspended. Do you still think he's worth something, Mike?
No, I think it's time to sell Devontae to rile your team a little bit more.
To someone who needs him, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think he could be. Not to me, but to someone else with worse players.
I will say, I've thought about this for a minute. I think I would cut off my right hand.
Chuck receiving to guarantee some wide advice.
That totally Mike like too. Missed the playoff even last point. Because the fall, this as I've realized, the mere playing fantasy on easy mode year, that was a mere, you know, that was just the tip of the iceberg for what Mike was capable of. Like this has already lasted way longer than that has. The fall from this would be so unbelievable. That I would do anything to make that happen.
Yeah.
And send it to you. I have to send it to him. Yeah.
Charlie, if you cut off your right hand and send it to me, I will tank the year.
No, you have to be trying.
Oh, yeah.
You'll know where it came from.
You can't tank.
If I'm quotation marks trying and lose.
Yeah.
And I happen to come across a right hand.
I forgot Mike would eat it. I forgot he would eat it.
Okay. Fantastic stuff.
I would saute it beautifully, Charlie.
Mike would absolutely
eat. And then I would take the bones and make it into a necklace.
I don't ask for much, but for the love of God. Do I want this to happen? Not the whole cutting, not the cutting my hand off part and Mike eating it, making it. Not that part, but like a collapse. Like maybe we can get lucky, and it's like everybody but Nick Chubb on Mike's team could just blow out their ACLs this week. I don't root for injuries, but you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing if everybody on his team besides Nick Chubb blew out their ACL. It wouldn't be the worst thing that ever happened.
But for Mike, maybe.
I think you could try.
Here's the worst part about Mike's team is that unless the Carolina Panthers are the dumbest organization in football, which they very well might be, they can trade Christian McCaffrey for like a second or first round pick, probably. And they're not. They trade him to a really good team for like a second round pick. And he gets even better.
Right.
Yeah, wait until Christian McCaffrey gets on the Bills. I'm a full Buffalo Bills offense.
That's true. I didn't even think about that. Charlie just dropped off because his internet is bad. But, Mike, so that feels like a good segue.
I'm actually glad my browser crashed again because I heard Mike talk and I was like, I don't want to hear about this anymore.
All right, my food's ready.
All right, Mike, we'll let you go. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, all right. Bye.
And Charlie just dropped off again. He held up pretty well for most of that time. Hold on one moment.
It's not an internet thing. Like, it's ridiculous. This is not an internet.
Okay, wait, I got you back in my headphones now. Okay. Well, I do have a segment planned here also, Charlie.
I was going to ask, you can still do your Orlando Magic segment if you want to. But
I mean, I might as well. I'll run through it very briefly. I was actually really glad when this got suggested because, like, this segment idea is kind of dumb, and that was funny.
I agree. But I will say before you answered the call from Mike, what I was going to say is I did look it up real briefly to see, and only a couple other times have we had where like everybody clinched the playoffs by like multiple games. Like most of the time, the sixth spot is usually up for grabs, like into like the second week, last week or last week. Like it goes pretty far.
Exactly, and that's where I was just sort of curious because there has been that. We have four teams at 1-4 or worse. We have six teams at 3-2 or better. Two games isn't a lot, but like,
especially you're only five games into the season. Yes, I agree that there. No matter how you spin it, there are two packs right now in the league.
There are two packs, and there's also like, listen. Do I think that Gary's going to make the playoffs? No, but he's got a two-game cushion.
Yeah,
you know. He needs it, so he has it.
I will say, I mean, as much as I don't, you know, as much as I don't want to be in a loser's bracket, a loser's bracket of me, Colin, Alex, and Brian would be an absolute electric factory.
It would be really fun. It would, again, it would nearly guarantee us a new winner.
Yeah, I mean, you choke in the playoffs all the time. Exactly. So you would almost, it would essentially guarantee.
There would be a fantastic chance of a new winner. There's a very good chance that, yeah, I get blown out anyway, especially the way that Mike and Zach are playing. So, like, whatever. I mean, yeah, like, that would actually be kind of sweet.
Like I said, if I, so I said, if, you know, if I can't win, I've kind of put my stock behind Paul getting one eventually. But if you want to talk about an electric factory of a championship game, what better is there than Zach and Mike?
Oh, no, I disagree. It's Paul and Mike.
Oh, no, no, no. No? If it's Zach and Mike, I mean, Mike will. Think of this, Zach might drive and kill Mike in Seattle by the time that game is over.
I had not considered geographic proximity. That's true.
No, if Mike was like running it up or like doing really.
Okay, Charlie dropped again. But no, I agree. I think that would be incredible. Here he is.
Like Mike, there's a very good chance Zach would go and murder Mike in cold blood in Seattle if. If they got into a close game or if Mike was running it up and just shit talking shit on it. Like,
I just think that it would be absolutely incredible if we got a championship game and it wound up being that Mike Ong won a championship over Paul before Paul won one.
That would be funny. Or like a Mike Ben game would be like, yes. What are we doing?
What holy happened? Shit.
That would be the life comes at you fast bull.
We would have to take a good hard look in the mirror after that one.
We should set up a live stream of the Sunday games if Mike and Zach are in we should make them have to watch the games together
and film it for us. Yeah, that would actually be pretty fun. Yeah, I'm sure we could do that. Yeah, just a group FaceTime, but like we all turn our video off. It's just them.
Yeah, they have to watch it together.
They have to be in the same room for at least 90% of that day.
Yeah, like that would be absolutely incredible content.
Okay, so just quickly, the magic numbers right now, and I haven't done any checking. Zach maybe can check to see if this is like a very notable low number.
Not only will he check, I'm sure he's already calculated. Why didn't you ask me? I had to calculate it 3 years ago. You know,
yeah, like, that is probably like that. True. I got bored at work, so I did this in Microsoft Excel. It took me 15 minutes. So my magic number right now is 6 to make the playoffs.
There's 9 games left in the regular season, John.
That still feels really low for this few games. Your tragic number, Charlie, is 7.
Yeah, that's fine. We're right on schedule.
You are right on schedule. Wait,
hold on. Your magic number is 6.
Yeah. Okay, he left because he was so appalled by that. You're back. Okay.
Right. Your magic number is 6 and my magic number is 7.
Your tragic number is 7.
But what does the tragic number mean? When I can't, like if I lose 7 more games, I can't make the playoffs?
Well, no. It's, you know how magic numbers work where it's like, so let's say it's difficult right now because there are so many tied scores, but let's say it's Gary. If Gary wins the next 4 games and you lose the next three, it's over.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so it's not wins.
I was going to say, I thought for a moment that you were telling me that if I start off 0-12, I'm not going to make the playoff. I thought that's what you were going with for a second. I'm like, a lot of investigation.
That is not how magic numbers work. Charlie just dropped again. But to explain briefly, yeah, a magic number goes down.
It's almost funny. It's almost funny.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about this very briefly, and then we just move along. Yeah. So the magic number works. It goes down when either you win or the team in the crucial position loses.
I know how magic numbers. We know everybody knows how magic.
You clearly numbers. Don't, Charlie, because you just asked the question.
You called it the tragic number, and I misunderstood you, thinking you were saying my magic number was 7.
A tragic number is inverse, essentially. Okay. So whereas a magic number counts your wins and the other team's losses, the tragic number is your losses and the other team's wins. So mine is 6, Zach's and Mike's is 7, and then the 3-2 squad, their magic number is all 8. The magic number for the division is still 9, still very high. Alex, Brian, and Colin each have a tragic number of 8, and Charlie, who just dropped off, has a tragic number of 7, as I said. So again, all I'm saying is it's not going to happen because, you know, all of these teams have to play each other too much. Like the group that's 3-2, the group that's 1-4, they're going to play each other. So someone's going to win there. However, it is in theory possible for some like actual playoff seeds to start, playoff teams to clinch like in like 5 or 6 weeks. Like with 3 weeks left, teams could be clinching, which feels early to me. Charlie's still offline. But while he's coming back, I'm going to introduce our next segment, which, Charlie, moving on to the next segment. So I hope you didn't have any other thoughts.
Okay. No, it's – I will say that there was actually, like – actually, like, a feedback thing came up being, like, why is this tab crashing? So it's, okay. It's a Chrome. It's definitively a Chrome problem, not a my internet stinks problem, which is probably – they're probably working in tandem, if I'm being honest.
All right. Well, since we have Charlie back for right now, we're going to dive into our next segment, which is the always popular wheelbarrow.
McDaniels, he's going to need a wheelbarrow, man, for his nuts to carry around, man. He got a lot of cojones, you know what I'm saying? So, what's he called by him?
So,
a segment so popular, you often forget to assign it.
I routinely forget. It's a Colin idea that it slips my mind routinely, but I do fucking love the quote, so any excuse to get that in there, I will take. I just love that he calls him Mac Daniel. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to assume that Tyreek Hill doesn't know the names of any of the players on the Dolphins.
Mac Daniel.
Let alone the coaches.
Yeah, do you think those two have had a conversation outside of when, like, he got signed or traded?
Yes, because I think Mike McDaniel thinks that he's, like, sweet and, like, cool.
Yeah, that's true.
And probably tried to talk to Tyreek Hill, and Tyreek Hill's like, I don't even know who the fuck this dude
Meanwhile,
is.
Meanwhile, Tyreek Hill has those ridiculously large sunglasses on, and he's asleep behind them.
They can't even see. Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to give away the Wheelbarrow Award as per the usual. You all know the rules. I believe Ben was given it last week, so we're going to remove it from Ben's possession. I forget what color he painted it, but I don't know.
The opposite of whatever Mike painted it, I believe, was the...
Oh yeah, he picked like a mustard, like the least.
Yeah, like a yellow mustard brown type of thing.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it's mustard brown right now. So we're gonna take it away from Ben. We're gonna give it to our week 5 winner. And before we get into the real debates, because I'm not gonna push this too much, this is the first week that I suggest it might be me. I'm 5-0. I just had a gigantic comeback against Alex. I think there's an argument.
You're 5-0 in the same way the Steelers were 11-0 2 years ago. Like nobody sees you and be like, "Wow, that's their team's amazing." Like you're just there.
And you know what? The fantasy gods just spoke on that one because Charlie was just booted for that heresy. I hope you learned your lesson.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah, but like, yeah, but like your team's not bad, but you're not.
No, I'm not 5-0.
I don't look at your team and be like, there's a guy to watch out for. That's still Mike.
No, yeah, I am probably a hair behind Zach in terms of like the actual talent on my roster. Yeah. But that being said, I can't even explain to you how I continue to find ways to win these games, and yet someone on my team just scores 30 points. In this case, two guys did it.
Travis Kelce, like, apparently just was not a part of the Raiders' red zone defense plan.
Not even
they only threw to him. He had 24 yards
yes.
and 4 touchdowns. They only threw to him on like the 5-yard line.
He set the record for the lowest yardage total with 4 touchdowns.
It was like by 50 yards. Yeah, by 50. I saw that. By 50 yards.
The next lowest is 95.
Yeah.
So I think that there's an argument to be made for me. But I think that there are better options, so I'm not going to push it too much at the moment. Chuck, you had an idea for one, so go ahead.
Yeah, if I had to pick, I mean, there's a no-brainer for me. I would give it to Zach.
And why?
I mean, you look at you look at the game this week, think about what Zach had to overcome just on Thursday night. I mean, 10 points from Brandon McManus. John, he kicked 3 field goals. Has a kicker ever made 3 field goals in a game before? And he even attempted a 4th one and got blocked. Like, he could have had 13 points, 14 points even, depending on how long the field goal was.
We don't know.
And the Denver defense, 13 points. That has to be a record for how many points a defense has scored in 1 week, right?
But yeah, easily. Probably by 13.
I mean, 2 interceptions. When has a team ever had 2 turnovers in 1 game? Some teams don't get 2 turnovers the whole season. The Broncos had 2 turnovers in 1 game. And by the way that Zach was reacting, we could tell that he knew it was practically hopeless.
Right. He was in a hole. Right.
23 points. From a what? That's never happened before, ever. And yet Zach picked himself up off the mat, got some guys together, and he went out there and got a W. I mean, you would have thought if you saw Zach on Thursday, he was probably almost killed himself on Thursday. He was so like distraught and down. I mean, I don't know. I give Zach a lot of credit for standing strong, surviving that weekend, and putting in a really good effort on Sunday to get a win. And that's why, you know, mainly for what he had to overcome on Thursday and all that adversity he faced, I mean, he's got to be the wheelbarrow winner for this week.
Wow. I mean, when you put it like that, Charlie, first of all, Zach, you are so strong. We are so proud of you. And, you know, we hope that you keep this up because we all believe in you. Okay. All that aside, Charlie, because that was a great, that's a fantastic suggestion. It goes back to Ben. It does, yeah, right?
The hood wagon gets it this week.
That performance might have killed Colin. Colin may not open the fantasy app for the remainder of the year.
The funny thing about that game in particular is that 2 of those field goals, the Raiders took Derek Carr took an ill-advised sack, or they had like a penalty that pushed them back just into the next range bracket. Right. Like I think he kicked 2 41-yard field goals.
Yeah, I think it was 40 and then it got pushed back to 50.
Yeah, no, so he had I think 1 was 41 yards and 2 were like 52 and 50 like 3 yards. Like those were his I mean that was.
And again,
and the best part was that the whole time, every time he got out the kick, Bach would be like, "Here comes one of the best kickers in the league, Dan Carlson, just nailing another one."
It was kind of incredible to watch, especially, I mean, again, this part happened so far before, but the fact that T. Higgins was included in the game, played like 3 snaps and then just didn't see the field for the rest of the game was just, you just don't see that. I know, like, actual football head coaches don't consider fantasy football, obviously, but you never see a guy get listed as active and then just don't play in the game.
The closest we used to get was he still kind of does this. At least like Julio Jones, you do that for the Falcons all the time. He would not practice all week, never have an injury. Like he'd be like probable for every game. He'd go out there and be clearly playing with like a broken leg. And be like, he's on the field. He's just not even remotely involved in the offense.
No, not even close. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this was, especially with T. Higgins thus far in the season being arguably the number one receiver in Cincinnati.
Yeah. He's right there with you. Like, he certainly is getting the volume that would put him in that argument. Yeah.
So you would think that would be the one guy that Colin would like just be able to be like, all right, he's playing in the game. I'm good. No.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The best part was that, like, they put him out there and then we're like, yeah, no, we're not even going to pretend anymore.
This is worth it.
Not even worth is like a decoy. We're going to stand him on the sideline next to the head coach that we can see him at all times.
Yes. So you can be reminded that, no, he's not in the locker room. He's here. He's just not playing. Mm-hmm.
Like, at least the Raiders put Darren Waller in street clothes at halftime.
Yeah, exactly. No, he had his pads on. I believe the whole time. You're right.
I think he did. I think the whole game he had his pads on. Like the illusion, he might come back out there if they need him.
We don't know. But okay, yeah. So congratulations, Ben. Back-to-back wheelbarrows. Potentially his third wheelbarrow. Actually, I am not tracking these, but
I would be lying if I told you that I was tracking who won wheelbarrows.
I know Brian has one. I know Ben has at least two. I don't remember who the other.
Mike has one.
Mike does have one. Okay. Well, let's move on then into our predictions. And once again, congratulations to Ben. But so the predictions. So to summarize from last week, I did eventually make picks. I did not do it on the podcast due to the fact that I wasn't there and I was very distracted. So the next day, I sent them a call, and because I had failed to get them in on time, I just picked exclusively underdogs. Like,
there you go.
I picked myself because I felt like I had to do that.
Yeah, they say hungry dogs run faster. I mean, that's all that I know.
And I went 1-4. the one was me. Colin and Zach actually both went 4-1. Zach just barely missing out on the 5-0 that he needed to be invited back because he demanded to be invited back if he went 5-0. Didn't get it, so Zach not allowed to come back.
Darn, he never be on again. Darn it.
Never be on again.
And he just missed the wheelbarrow on top of that.
He just missed the wheelbarrow by a hair, okay? By a 5-yard penalty that pushed Dan Carlson from 46 to 51.
I mean, I don't know if anybody will ever face that level of adversity again and overcome it the way Zach did.
Listen, all I'm saying is if there is a Fantasy Football Man of the Year award at the end of this year, I know who I'm voting for. So that brings us to the overall ratings. I have dropped now to 15 and 10. Colin is now 12 and 13.
That was the week you needed to get back into it.
That's true. Yeah, so this really could not have worked out any better for Colin. I guess I got to miss more podcasts if I want this to be. Also, I will say this was a very interesting litmus test for me because part of the reason why I picked 4 underdogs was because I wanted to know what was the real like load-bearing factor in this lead that I'd opened up. Was it the fact that I'm good at picking these games or the fact that the universe is against Colin? Because if I had done well with that,
yeah.
Then it has nothing to do with me. It turns out it might have something to do with me. So that's actually kind of good.
Maybe. Yeah.
Quickly, I will just read off Colin texted me his picks. So he didn't pick all dogs, but, so Colin is taking himself, Alex, Zach, Ben, and Mike. We'll just keep that in mind. So I guess we can start with Colin's game then. We will look at that matchup first. So that's going to be Colin versus Paul. A close projection.
Very close.
And if I'm being honest with you here, I'm not even going to look that closely at this. Because Paul's trending up and Colin's trending down. That's about all I can say about it. I'm going Paul.
I'm going to go with Colin, but only for this reason, is that every guy on Paul's team besides Austin Eckler plays Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Right.
And I don't like when that is the case because it's just all at once. You can't track, and then that's just your score basically. Whereas Colin has some 1 o'clock, some 4:05s. He has a Sunday night and a Monday night guy. And so I like Colin's spread. Colin just casts in a wider net. In that regard, so I'm going with Colin.
No, that's true. And you know what? He'll be operating from behind, which he didn't do well when he's leading. So
yeah. Let's
see if this goes better for him.
Gotta be down to come back.
Exactly. It's mathematically the way that it is, folks. All right. So his next one, or let's just do you versus Ben here, Chuck. So Colin picked Ben.
Yeah, I made this pick 2 weeks ago. I mean, Ben's going to win this game. I could have told you the result of this. I told you the result of this game a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, Ben's winning this one. No further need for analysis. 1-0 thus far in my predictions, just saying.
All right. So we got
actually 2-0 if you count the Browns game. So
yeah, they stack. That is true that they do. Technically, I mean, you're kind of 3-0 because you recorded that before Garrison had beaten you.
That's true.
That was a prediction.
Yeah, so I'm minimum 2-0, actually probably 3-0.
Technically 3-0. Let's see. What else do we have that's actually good here?
Are you going with Ben as well?
Yes, I'm going with Yo. Yeah,
I don't know if you said it or not.
Oh, so I typed it. I probably didn't say it out loud. All right, the other bad one, Mike versus Brian.
Brian's team is really bad. It's like, I didn't realize awful. It. Like, I was like, oh, he must have a bunch of guys on bye. No. Cordero's out, but that's it.
That's the extent of it. Yeah, it's like there's no help on the horizon for
Brian's team's really bad, and my team's 0-5. So I know the bad team's out when I see one. Like,
well, I mean, it's just that, like, even the guys that you like saw in Brian's draft that you were like, all right, that's gonna provide a backstop. Still not succeeding, really.
Am I crazy to think that Tony Pollard's just a better running back than Ezekiel Elliott?
No, that was the preseason hype all year, was that the Cowboys might just be done with Zeke.
Like, it feels like every single time Tony Pollard gets a handoff in a Cowboys game, he runs for like 15 yards.
He does, and then Zeke gets in and like runs for 2 yards and fumbles. It's just not like
position rank wise. Pollard's 28, Zeke's 37. So he has scored more points thus far, but
it's fucking insane.
Yeah.
But it's Mike. Yeah. I mean,
Mike's a wagon. So,
but like, even like AJ Dillon hasn't done what everyone expected him to do. Adam Thielen's
been bad. Like,
Adam Thielen's been like meh at best.
I will say that people have realized that the Packers just don't actually have any receivers.
Mm-hmm.
So they just play the running backs correctly. And they stop them.
Exactly. Yeah. I think people were underestimating, and myself included, how much Devontae Adams actually pulled the defense away from the running backs.
I also feel like people thought that AJ Dillon was going to get like a bunch. Like, I feel like Aaron Jones is still getting the lion's share of their snaps at running back. It is not a Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb situation where, like, every once in a while you get a full drive of Kareem Hunt. Like Aaron Jones is still predominantly a third down guy for them.
No, yeah, I think it's what it's been, or what people expected, was that it was going to be both of them on the field at the same time. And that might be happening, but when it is, it's not going well. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, so now moving forward.
So I think we all picked Mike there too.
We did all pick Mike. Who else do we have to pick? Okay, so yeah, we got two more. So I think I know what I'm going to pick for my, the marquee matchup. So we're going to do me versus Zach next, because.
Yeah, John, I really want to pick you in this game, but then I forgot that you just don't have any running backs to play.
I don't know. And it's kind of good because now I get it over with. I'll lose this game and we'll just move forward and I'll have both of them. Because the discussion is also that Swift is back after the bye. Like, they were holding him out to get him healthy, and then they're going to make the run with him. So he could still get hurt again, but he's going to be good after the bye.
Yeah.
And Jacobs is playing the best football of his life. But for this week, no, I'm fucked.
Yeah. I just, like, you may get. As somebody who's seen running backs not score a lot of points for him, you might have a 10 points total out of this running back core.
I think I might be lucky to get that. Chase Edmonds received one handoff last week.
What other running backs does Miami have?
I believe it's Raheem Mostert.
They do have him, yeah.
Who also McDaniels likes a lot from San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then there's another person who should not be ahead of Chase Edmonds on this depth chart, but now is. So
Chase Edmonds is entering like Tobias Harris status, where it's like, oh shit, they got this guy, like, look out. And then he just doesn't do anything.
They're paying him so much money to do nothing. It's kind of fascinating.
People act like he was going to be like David Johnson on the Cardinals last year. Yeah. And then James Conner was just better.
He's just getting outplayed by every other running back he's in competition with. That being said, I know that that's technically a hedge, but like, I have to pick myself. I'm 5-0. I need to continue to pick myself, so I'm picking myself. Chuck, who you got?
I gotta take Zach in this one. It's just, I mean, it's if you were remotely like at full strength a running back, I would look at you very seriously. But I just don't. That's a position where you can, that's two guys you're just not gonna get anything out of.
Rashad Penny actually broke his leg. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do at this point. Yeah. I was like, all right, whatever. I'll put Chase Edmonds, and Rashad Penny in there, and it'll be okay. No. I have Eno Benjamin. Benjamin. All right, and now for our marquee matchup. It's not a loser-leaves-town game, technically, because, like, Garrison technically has a 3-2 record.
This would not shuffle the playoff standings regardless of the outcome.
It would not. However, This would go. This would do a lot for if either of these teams winning would do a lot to really solidify the direction that they're heading in. So that's why I think that this is the loser leaves town game. Garrison also after a truly awful performance.
Yeah.
Of 90 points. And now having to play without Derrick Henry or Darren Waller, who, I mean, Darren Waller's been hurt anyway, but like, still, you don't love to see it. And Alex at, I believe, full strength. And Dobbins? No, Dobbins played like shit. Okay, so, you know, still he's playing, but he played like garbage. And then maybe Jonathan Taylor?
It seems like he's going to play.
Did not practice Wednesday.
But, like, you could put Barry Sanders behind that Colts O-line, and he'd get, like, 15 yards total. Like, their O-line stinks.
Right, yeah. This is current Barry Sanders also, probably.
Yeah.
Current age Barry Sanders. I really like the fact that Garrison is just fading Brian's entire team, apparently. Have you noticed that? He has Tony Pollard and Michael Gallup.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's kind of fun. He's got Herbert, but against
Denver's not good.
No, their defense is fantastic.
Their defense is. They have, I don't know if you were there when I saw this, but apparently I realized they can just deploy an unlimited number of very athletic defensive linemen like into the game. They just have – they have apparently 15 of those guys on their team, and they can just put it at any time.
They're just in a rotation. Their secondaries are really good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yeah, there's – he's got some easy, some not so easy. I mean, I kind of like McKenzie in there. Like, might just score a bunch of points for him. And who will Alex play if not – oh, God, he's probably going to have to play – Jerry Jeudy. He did get Russell Wilson out of there. So good for you, Alex, for doing that.
Yeah, for Kirk Cousins, who's also, who we forgot, is really lightening up this year.
It's a lot better. He finally benched Kyle Pitts, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if that happened this week or last. I think he might have done it last week, but he might have been.
He's playing. Like their offense is bad. He's also playing hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I think this is... this narrows the gap. I'm going Alex.
I'm riding with the Derek.
Hungry dogs
run. Yeah, hungry dogs run faster. Like the match. Really, none of the stats I can bring up, like say that that pick should be correct.
Oh, not even close. No.
I hate Alex so much that I'll do whatever it takes.
Okay, and Colin also took Alex in this one. So to briefly go through our picks here, so I took
just real quick. Terry McLaurin plays on Thursday. He might have one catch on, and then that could just be it. Like I'll just no guarantee he'll lose regardless.
That's such a good point. Okay, so to recap, so we had so I took Paul, Ben, Mike, myself, and Alex. Colin took himself, Ben, Mike, Zach. And Alex, Chuck, you took Colin, Ben, Mike, Zach, and Gary.
Correct.
So we're going to see. And you know what? We're going to just make a standing offer to whoever spot hosts the pod. If you go 5-0, you get to come back the next week.
What if I just never gave up the chair? I just like went on an unbelievable run the rest of the season. And I had to keep coming on.
Yeah, no, that would be very fun if you just turned this into a triumvirate because you just were succeeding too much.
Yeah. That being said, I'll probably go 1-4 or 0-5 and it'll just be go fuck yourself in that regard too.
Not a lot of variation. I think one of the most disappointing things about the fact that there's this chasm in the middle of the standings is that it makes effectively every game a very clear this is the favorite, this is the underdog.
We have some big spreads this week.
Yeah, because technically the game that probably should have been a good one was me versus Zach, and it won't be.
Yeah, that's unfortunate that you had that week.
So I don't know, but okay. Well, I think that's.
God, I have to play DJ more this week. The Panthers fucking stink. So I said today, Baker Mayfield has the second worst QBR since they started keeping the stat, only behind 2008 Jamarcus Russell.
He's smaller than Jamarcus, though. He came into camp lighter than Jamarcus did.
He did. I mean, thank God Jamarcus Russell, every quarterback probably, thank God that guy existed because no one could ever be as bad as he was.
It's kind of the same thing with top five draft picks and just being thank God Ryan Leaf was around because otherwise, it could have been me.
Thank God Ryan Leaf and then any guy the Browns drafted existed because they just reset the scale for everybody.
Brandon Whedon.
It was a 22nd overall. It was 22nd overall.
I know. Okay. Well, I think that's about going to do it for us. Chuck, you got any last thoughts here?
I said it on my show, but I'll just reiterate it here. If you have any segment ideas for the Commissioner's Corner, little plug here, hit me up and we'll try to get you on. Like I said, we're focused more towards a little bit of shorter segments, 20 to 30 minute episodes only.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to seeing what league members want to get involved with that. I have some ideas. I have a really good segment planned, I think, coming up with Ben. So this will be a good one.
Well, I'm excited. And there we go.
A little tease there.
This is also mutually beneficial. You get a little plug. Yeah. I get a co-host. Everybody wins.
Look at that.
All right. Well, that is going to do it for us here. Be sure to check back next week when maybe Con and I will both be doing the episode. We'll wait and see. And maybe Charlie too, if he goes 5-0. But until you hear from me again, peace.
Thousand men and women have